Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Andy Rowan, Big Jim and Goody. With me as usual, we're brought to you this week by Beer 52. This is your last chance, your last week to help yourself to Beer 52's special offer of 8 free beers. To get in on it, all you need to do is go to beer52.com/rugby and cover the postage and you get 8 of the best beers from around the world delivered straight to your door. That's the word beer followed by the number 52.com/rugby to get your free beers. Don't miss out. How's your week been, boys?
What can you say? Much of the same.
The kids are back at school down in England. Yours?
No, they're not. No, Andrew. You know what? I've piggybacked, though. Nay. We'll go back. So this Sunday, I was meant to be the big game. Hashtag always Edinburgh versus We Are Benetton. United Colours of Benetton on the top. But cancelled due to China and COVID. So that game was cancelled. I missed the big game. So what I did watch on social media, as we consume our life through there, and for the millions of you out there wondering, my social media time is down. Almost half, Andrew. Andrew, I sent you the screenshot.
Social media time or screen time, James? Because there's a big difference.
The lot, mate. The lot is halved. But what I did see on social media was, if in doubt during this pandemic, right, and you're struggling to be at home and you've not seen your family and all this carnage is happening around you, become a Rangers fan. Because apparently, if you support Rangers, you can turn up at the stadium with all your mates, screaming, Rangy boys, la, 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 and wear a mask down by your throat, because apparently that protects COVID if you wear a mask down by your throat. And job's a good one. I'm watching that. I'm like, how's that happening at the weekend? And I'm locked at home still with the kids and can't see the family. But anyway, let's not get political about that. I'm all right. I've gone for a different look. The millions of people can't see. I've put a hat on the head. And I've put me AirPods in my ears. And it's made me think, how good are my ears, lads? How good do my ears look with this hat?
Not really, Jim. They're sticking out like the handles of the FA Cup. Well, I mean, I don't get it.
I think that looks quite good. And as I'm covering the barnet, the beard is back and the chin now is covered. It got me thinking, Andrew.
Go on.
But parts of my body that I don't like or do like. And it's just a bit of honesty. Really.
You don't like your bush, so you've trimmed it with Manscaped.
Thank you. You're welcome. What else don't you like? You'll know. You tell me.
You don't like the top of your head.
Guilty. Yeah.
your tiny calves. You don't like your tiny calves?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else then. My calves are actually bigger than you think, but no, I'm all right about my calves.
Okay. And your question... Your Superman tattoo.
Every day. Who gets a Superman tattoo is all I'm saying.
Apart from that, mate, you're looking $1 million.
My ears look great. Andrew, yes. What about yourself? We did say that you looked better last week.
Thank you, James.
Anything you don't like about yourself? I mean, obviously your lid, you had that done. I ain't judging you. I think if you get your lid done, you're a better man. You're a better man. You're a really good man. Anything else?
I'll fix that. I mean, I'm trying to fix the weight. So I've got a couple of less chins this week, hopefully.
How much have you lost?
I've lost 6 kilos. Genuinely, I've not eaten bread for a month and I've dropped 6 kilos. Imagine when I can get back on the bike. I'm still on my crutches, so I can't get around too far. But I just had to control it a little bit. And I've been impressed with my mental capacity to walk straight past the treats cupboard.
Hang on, let's go back. Your mental capacity is you lying. You couldn't leave your bedroom, Andrew. Your lovely Carolyn has done you a lovely favour by not delivering to the bedroom door. So, Carolyn, thank you. Thank you. You've given us a few. Well, you've given us Ibiza with Andrew. 6 kilos. You must be shredded. Can you see your toes yet or not?
I can clearly see my toes, but I did.
That is amazing.
I did let myself down on Saturday a little bit. I let myself down on Saturday, so I had a little wobble. And I just thought I had to get involved with the Cornish pasties, didn't I? So I had a couple of Cornish pasties to celebrate, James, to celebrate
what?
An amazing celebrate what? Victory. The Cornish Ooh. Pirates, they put 50 on Saracens down at the Menai Field, mate. Didn't see it.
How good was that result, though?
Oh, mate. I mean, amazing, really. I mean, we can get into some facts about it if you want, because
I didn't see it. Hit me.
People will say, oh, Saracens had all their internationals missing. No, they didn't. They had 7 internationals playing with 165 caps. Now, Cornish Pirates, let's not talk about Saracens. Let's make it all about Cornish Pirates. We've talked on here time and time again about ring fencing. It ain't going to be a walk in the park, Saracens, down in the Champo. You've seen they've lost to Ealing already in pre-season, but here's the real games. The league has started. I think Saracens are bottom of the table, aren't they?
I've not seen it. As I say, you have to. All I know about Saracens at the minute is Kelly. But that's Kelly Brown's first game.
Yeah. Blame Kelly. If in doubt, blame Kelly. I mean, there's been some bang average rugby players over time that have gone to the Menai Field three times and won all three games they've played there. That's basically me. I've played there three times, never lost at the Menai Field. And I played once for Saracens at the Menai Field against Cornish Pirates. And yeah, we won. Of course we did.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, 2002. Of course we did. We won. But not this time, Saracens. Tip the slipper to the Cornish Pirates. They're after a new stadium. They've got permission, I believe. They want entry into the Premiership at some point. It's an amazing result. Whether you're a Saracens fan or not, and obviously Saracens fans are going to hate the fact they lost down there, but it's amazing for the game that a Championship team can still compete with the big boys. Yes, there were a lot of players missing, don't get me wrong, but there might be a gulf over a big season. But there is potential for these teams still to want to play in the Premiership. And that's why the long term, we have to keep the door open in the Premiership to promotion and relegation.
I love the Cornish Pirates. Ravo's arm, 50. Ugh! He played down there at a lovely house on Seddon Cove. And I went there for 5 days. I was in bed for two or three. I got rattlesnaked. Do you know what that is?
Go on.
There's this barn that's open till 4 or 5 in the morning and they serve rattlesnake on tap, which is a pint. And I've had 10 responsibly because the legend's gone down to Cornwall. And I am absolutely ball bagged. That's the reason I want to see Cornish Pirates. Because Andrew, with your 6 kgs, you could be 15 kgs, 25 kgs lighter. And we could head down to Cornish Pirates and we can eat some rattlesnake pints and enjoy it.
With the Cornish pasty and our tops off.
Please.
Well, Jim, we're not in the studio together, so I can't smell your musk, but are you still wearing the Manscaped cologne?
Not always do we just throw an ad out there, just throw an ad out there. I ain't joking. I am telling you straight now, I smell incredible with that stuff. Incredible. It is like an old school musk, retro, edgy, legendary. I mean, they made it for me.
Well, Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide for all their grooming needs. So make sure you join the movement and try their new refined cologne if you want to complete the perfect package. And get 20% off and free shipping with the code RugbyPod at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. And make sure you use the code RugbyPod. You'll be a modern man and you'll be supporting the pod as well. Well, we'll look back on the Premiership action a little bit later on, but let's have a look at international rugby first. And before we get into the Six Nations, are we getting any closer to the confirmation of a UK-based Lions tour, maybe 4 tests as well, or is it too soon to say?
Let's just say yes.
Who knows? I read this week that there's still conversations going on from the British and Irish Lions that they might still try and take it out to South Africa.
Well, that's what they want, don't they? They're trying everything that they can to make it happen in South Africa, because we know how important it is for that country to host the British and Irish Lions Tour. The money that it brings in, will the money be the same without no fans?
No, it won't, no. I mean, that's obvious to me, it won't.
If I was to put my mortgage on it, and I do have a mortgage, Andrew, I know you don't, then I would say it's going to be in the UK and Ireland. And I genuinely think it will be beneficial for rugby if that is the case. I'm genuinely now hoping, from a selfish point of view, but also for the growth of the game, that it is in the UK and Ireland with fans. Imagine the beer gardens, is all I'm saying. Can you imagine how good it would be in the summer in the UK and Ireland? The biggest tour on the calendar. I couldn't think of anything better right now.
I think the only issue with it, you're talking a small number of people in terms of the percentage of people that would love to go. How many people go on a Lions tour?
Yeah, but that's not happening. That's the thing. That's definitely not happening.
Well, yeah, correct. But, you know, I'd still love to. The romantic in me wants to see it in South Africa, and the romantic in me wants it to be delayed a year to see if that can happen. But I completely understand, yeah, from a business point of view, and the British and Irish Lions are talking to the government about them trying to underwrite it. I don't quite agree with that, to be honest, because British and Irish Lions are run as a business and they're looking at the government to sort of underwrite any losses that they could make, which, you know, the big political news last week was the budget that came out, and people are complaining that the NHS staff haven't got a big enough pay rise, which I completely agree with. So it's a dangerous path to go down. But like Jim says, to see rugby in, you know, the four various international grounds over in Dublin, there'd be a lot of fun had around it. Just the touring aspect's gone, and you know, they're just international matches, aren't they, really? So it's a very delicate situation. I feel a bit for the South African boys, though, because we're all talking about the British and Irish Lions and how great that tour is. And, you know, South Africa, let's not forget, they haven't played a game of international rugby since the World Cup final in 2019.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it don't matter.
But that's the thing, though. We're only looking at it from a selfish point of view because we want to see the Lions play. But we're also sat there going, we haven't even considered. South Africa haven't had any games. So are they going to have a warm-up game and then say, over you go, boys, four test series? It just doesn't feel right.
Have you guys heard any of the chat around the coaching setup for the Lions?
Yeah, I have actually. Eddie Jones, he's having it. Gats is gone. Eddie Jones wants it. No, mate, imagine. No thanks.
I don't know why. I've gone back to not, I mean, I don't dislike Eddie because I don't know him. Do you know what I mean? But the questions over, like I went through a dip where we were you were calling him Cowboy and I was just piggybacking.
I think that was you.
So I was just going down that route with him. But I picked up and I was loving him. And then now, I don't know whether it's because of the media narrative and the social media stuff or, you know, the Sam Simmons stuff, but I don't know. I'm not, you know, I'm back on the horse with him. You know what I mean? And we're riding rodeos at the minute, but I can't see him being anywhere near the Lions tour.
No, certainly not. Well, the rumours are people like Steve Borthwick.
How can Borthwick do it when he's at Leicester?
Well, that is the question. So obviously
he sacks everyone at Leicester and then he's going to go on the Lions tour.
I know. It does make it interesting because, you know, you see some people that rule themselves out because they want to focus on their international job or they're a head coach of a club or whatever. And it is, you know, Borthwick was on the Lions tour in New Zealand 4 years ago, but he was an international coach at that point and an international assistant coach. So it's a different kettle of fish. And I mean, imagine how many pints he sank on the Lions tour.
I reckon.
None. Exactly. So there'd be zero banter. But, you know, people say he's a very detailed, very good coach. So just him. Obviously, I couldn't work out whether Andy Farrell's putting his hat in the ring or out the ring.
You must be putting it in. Who would put the hat out of the ring?
But he said he'll do what's best for Irish rugby, which surely, if you're saying that means you ain't going some, because if you're head coach of Ireland, just focus on that.
Well, Six Nations is back this weekend, so let's have a look ahead to round four now, and the title may have gone for England, but how big is this game against France for Eddie Jones and some of the players?
Biggest game yet for him, IMO.
What, bigger than the World Cup final, Jim?
But that's gone. I mean, like now, because we're here.
So what you're saying...
Every game's a big game.
So what you're saying is it's the next game, is what you're saying.
No, because by making the World Cup final, you were never under pressure because you could win that game and obviously it would have been amazing for them. You can lose that game. You made a World Cup final. So you might have laughed at my answer, but it came from somewhere of education and belief that this game, with the pressure that he's under, with the manner in which they lost against Wales, take aside all the drama around it, the French team won't be in a good state because of the COVID stuff. And, you know, you don't know how them players have pulled up or what training they've managed to do. And the continued talk about informed players, you know, Marcus Smith, Sam Simmons, Alex Dombrandt, all these lads, and yet they're still not in the mixer. So from that perspective, and the way that France played in the Autumn Nations Cup final against them. So I'd say out of all the games that Eddie's been involved in, this is going to be a headline, is it? Because we're influencers. This is the highest pressure game for him.
I don't think it is. I disagree because his contract is going to the World Cup in 2023. So we could lose this game by 30, 40 points. He wouldn't get sacked. So it's one of those things. He's in complete control of the environment. What the fans want to see and what people want to see is an England performance. So the big decision for him, and he's always got the get out. People kind of said after the Wales game that, you know, he didn't make any changes really. It was still the same old players, which is fine as long as you win him. So now we're not winning. We can't win the Six Nations. People ask the questions, but he's always got things to fall back on. So if we lose, if he chances his arm here, in his opinion, and picks some of the other players in the squad, and let's not forget, he can't go picking Dombrandt. He can't go picking Marcus Smith. He can't go picking Sam Simmons because they're not in that squad that he's named. I think he could have done, and I've done a bit. I've done a bit of digging, and he could have done because of the way, you know, the selection fits around the COVID testing and the bubbles, etc. But he's chosen not to. If he really, really wanted to, he could have brought them all in, but he's chosen not to. So, are we going to see many changes in personnel? You know, one thing I found out this week was that the match fees for the England players are actually being pooled across the whole squad. So in the old times, you know, even go back last season, it was the match fee, and for argument's sake, the match fee last year was 24 grand. That only went that only went to the match day 23. It got reduced to, I think, around 17 grand with the new deal because of COVID and everything that's hit, and, you know, the pay cuts across the game. But they've now pulled that. So instead of just the match day 23 getting the match fee, they're pulling it across all 28 players, so whether you're involved or not. So you then start looking at, you know, why didn't some of those players play for their clubs? Even though England put out the press release that said, you know, we're going to give some players game time, only Beno Urbano played. I wouldn't be wanting to play for my club if there was guaranteed 14 grand on the line when you divvy it up around the 28 players. But is he going to make changes? Paolo Dogu, Max Malins, Ollie Lawrence, these are the sort of players that people want to see.
I'd love to see Ollie Lawrence get back in. I thought that it was shit how he got bombed out.
Yeah, and what's the point of having these players in the squad if you're not going to use them, especially when we can't win the title anymore? So, you know, for me, I'd perhaps move Watson to fullback and give Odogwu a go on the wing. Or then do you play Malins at fullback and then drop Anthony Watson and Elliot Daly? So there's the risk. You could potentially
drop
two players.
Drop them.
To me, if you're not starting, you're dropped. I know they use a language that is different because it suits the narrative. I know they said, oh, we're just changing your roles this week, mate, by not starting. You're dropped. If you ain't starting, you're dropped. Every rugby player knows that, aren't you? Yeah. And the next best thing is sitting on the bench. And if you ain't on the bench...
You're moaning. Yeah. You're moaning like buggery.
You're sapping. And if you're not in the squad, you're hating it even more. But Ollie Lawrence deserves a go. And, you know, they're going to have some big centres. They're going to have Vakatawa and they're going to have Gael Fiku probably as their 12 and 13.
My word.
So, you know, what's wrong with sticking Ollie Lawrence in there? If we lose to France, it's not the end of the world, is it? Because we can't win the title. You know, he said this week that only 70% of his squad will make the 2023 World Cup. Well, let's go find the other 30% then, Eddie. Let's give up people opportunities, because we got to the World Cup final in 2019 and we hadn't played another scrum half, had we? You know, it was all Ben Youngs. And then, lo and behold, Willie Hines, who was a late call up into the squad, you know, is ruled out. And then they have to bring Ben Spence, who's not been seen again. So I'm confused, really confused. For me, I'd probably go Farrell at 10. I'd like to see Ollie Lawrence and Slade in the centres. And then you've got to give Odogwu a go. I'd like to see Malins given a shot at fullback and then probably Johnny May on the other wing on form. So, but who knows what we're going to see. I'd also like to see Dan Robson start at 9 to give him a run from the start. But see what Eddie says.
You know, England are a good team. Like the big thing is the big players, and the big players being obviously Billy, how he will play. I thought we played really well against Wales. Marrow is discipline. I mentioned before, I thought it was a turning point for him. I think he'll be better. Obviously playing against France, one of the most physical teams. Marrow generally plays well in big, big games. And then the other talking point is around Owen as captain. And, you know, Eddie Jones made comments this week saying that he's learning in the role. I mean,
all you've mentioned then is the Saracens boys who haven't played any rugby this year.
But they're the backbone of the team, Andrew, whether you like that or not.
No, I'm not saying I don't like it. What I'm saying is we need to find other people because those boys haven't performed. Marrow's played
well.
That
shows you how important they've been to the England team over the World Cup or whatever, and then winning Europe. And it probably comes back to the whole stuff around the salary cap. And we've spoke about the Cornish Pirates thing.
But we're talking 2-3 years ago now, aren't we?
But also we're talking about a year of what's happened to them and the club and how that's emotionally affected these players, having not played games and not playing week in, week out. And Eddie Jones arguably leaning too heavily on the Saracens team in terms of the effect that they have overall on the squad. Do you know what I mean? You have to look at it like that when we're talking about it. So it's hard to say because they are so important to the team. Clearly, otherwise, Eddie would have dropped Billy. When Billy himself said he weren't playing well, he would have dropped Owen, where no matter, regardless of what you're watching, you can see he's not playing well. You would have pulled Marra off at half time if it was anyone else.
If it was you, it'd have been 20 minutes, right?
After that third penalty, I reckon I would have been off, mate. I reckon I would have been off. But you're up against France. They're a brilliant team. You just wonder with everything around the COVID stuff, you know, if they've been poorly, we don't know. They've got to be scanned, like their hearts get scanned, their lungs get scanned. You know, what training can they do? But it's France. Like, they could come up and just be absolutely phenomenal.
Two wins on the spin in the Six Nations. Then they go and, you know, break the bubble and just cause the drama.
Fabian broke the bubble.
Fabian and the boys, load of the boys went for waffles. I don't reckon they're going for waffles this week in London, do you, once they come over?
Well, it depends. If you go to the Rangers game, I'm sure they had a waffle van there, probably.
Jim, you know Fabian. Like, how will he be coping with all the eyes being on him?
I bet Loving he doesn't him. Give a shit, mate. Love I bet it. He doesn't give a shit at all. I bet he could give two Fs, really. Any other team, it just wouldn't happen. It's just like, it's just mental. He just does his own thing. But that's what I said to you. I think before I used the analogy when I did an interview about him, that he's like this like horrible genius. That wasn't the term that I used before, but just this poison genius, just a really divisive guy, but just oozes charisma. And
why is he divisive?
Well, look at his track record as a coach. You know, he left Montpellier on bad terms, went to Toulon, left Toulon on bad terms. And I always had this thing with Fabian that he thought he was better or bigger than the team. And he was, arguably. He would be at Montpellier and he was getting off the coach at away grounds. I'm thinking I'm going to get mobbed. No one knows who I am. They think I'm Nathan Ines. And then next thing, everyone's screaming at him for pictures. Like, Fabian, so we're about to go into a game and you think it'd be head down, off we go, like we've got a big game. He's there getting pictures and, très bien, c'est moi. He said a load of other French stuff, but I didn't understand what he was saying. But he is that. But there's a part of that where, like the Jose Mourinho, like, I don't know, I've only watched the stuff that I've seen on All or Nothing on the Tottenham Hotspurs thing, but there seems to be some parallels about how he goes about his business and someone like Jose does, where, you know, you'll do adverts and stuff like that and you'll do the media stuff and you're quite an open book and you've got all this razz and dazz. And arguably, there's a part of that that we love. Like, we love seeing different characters. You don't need to, you know, it's not one size fits all and you've got this mundane, monotone voice. You know, Eddie's doing his own thing and throwing stuff out into the media. Gregor Townsend is safe as houses, doesn't do anything. Hardly ever hear off Wayne Pivac. Andy Farrell does his own business. New Zealand's a closed shop. Razzy Erasmus is all about the social media as well and putting stuff out there on a documentary, and he's happy with all that. You know, there's people are different, aren't they? But I think Fabien Galthié, that what we saw with the French stuff, for me, is kind of like, yeah, well, of course it was Fabien. Like, is he bothered? Obviously not.
I think the big thing on it is these coaches, and Eddie Jones is in that same bracket. International coaches are very different to club coaches. So a club coach has got to do it 50 weeks of the year. You literally let your players have 2 weeks off. So you've got to be understanding the energy of a group and improving players for 52 weeks of the year. When you're an international coach, you come in and you've got a short window of opportunity to try and maximise what you can get out of these players in your environment. So you can treat them exactly as you want to and put so much pressure on them in those closed windows. And I think that's where, you know, Fabian's charisma and just his mentality comes out. It's all about him. I think in a club environment, it's very different. You can see there's a bit of jealousy there because everyone wanted Fabian's picture and not Jim Hamilton's. But, you know, same with Eddie Jones when he was at Saracens. He was shocking. You know, you speak to the boys that were at Saracens at the time, the coaches, it was horrific to be in that environment 24/7. 52 weeks or 50 weeks of the year. So some people suit international rugby, some people suit club rugby in terms of coaches. And liking it, the thing that amazes me the most is around this whole COVID situation and what France have done. Let's not forget, the European Champions Cup got delayed and postponed and changed this year because France said we can't go to those countries because of COVID and everything like that.
Shows the power.
And then all this stuff happens in the France squad and all the COVID positive tests, which isn't great. And, you know, you hope off the back of it, everyone's fine. But then they do an investigation and they've just said, nah, we were fine. Everything we did was okay. I don't think it was though, boys. The classic French way of no, deny, c'est toi.
With those Saracens boys that you talk about, Jim, at what point does Eddie's loyalty run out and he starts to maybe cut some of them, maybe bring in new fresh players?
Oh, back to my point. They have been the backbone of the squad. Maka Vunipola, when fit, the best loose end in the world, hands down. Jamie Jaw is up there in the top three or four hookers in the world. Maratoji, arguably one of the best locks in the world, one of two, him and Brody Retallick, in terms of
Alan
influence on game. I've changed my mind this week because we're a week gone by. You know, Billy Vunipola hasn't quite been the same since he broke his arm again and he's struggled to get back to form. He said that himself. Owen Farrell, one of the biggest characters and the biggest players in the game. You know, Elliot Daly, a little bit different. You know, there's arguably he'd be an easier player to rotate in and rotate out. But you'd have to be, you ain't going to drop Marrow. You ain't going to drop Mako if he's fit. You could see arguably Billy being swapped out because there are number eights playing well. The big one's Owen, isn't it? It's a massive statement to drop your captain at any level, let alone the top two sides in the world. He won't.
He ain't going to drop Owen Farrell, so we need to get away from that. What we can do is see someone else like a Marcus Smith or, you know, when Joe Simmons was in the form that he was in, given an opportunity in the squad. And I think when you talk about a big character, the Owen Farrell scenario is he runs that ship with Eddie Jones. So he's in charge of everything. Now, do you think Eddie Jones says, oh, mate, Marcus Smith going well, should we pick him or should we stick with George Ford? I'm not saying this happens, but I guarantee, and they're never going to say it happens, they're going to stick with George Ford because he's good mates and he fits into the Owen Farrell mould of I can dominate a team and you know, rightfully so as captain, but also knowing that you're not going to be challenged by George Ford because you know there's never a question whether it's George Ford or Owen Farrell. And this is the thing, and I think Lawrence Dallaglio said it over the weekend, some players in the environment have become very, very comfortable and it's hard. I think he said something along the lines of it seems harder to get dropped from that England team than it is to play your way into it. So, you know, we can't always keep harping on about the World Cup in 2019 when we got to the World Cup final and what these players have done. At some point, when Eddie talks about regeneration and you know, only 70% of this squad making the World Cup, you've got to see other people in the jersey. And there's no better time to do it than these last two games. Two tough games. You'll learn a lot about the boys that you can give opportunities to. It's over to the coach to see what he wants to do. I don't think we'll see that many changes this week. That's the sad thing, really.
Well, we can have a chat now with a man who knows just what it's like to be under the microscope as France head coach. Philippe Saint-André joins us. How are you, mate?
Yes, very good. Hello, everybody.
Great Bonjour. To have you on here. Bonjour, ça va, mon ami?
Very well, Andrew. You look fit.
Oh,
look
fit. Well.
Philippe, 6 kgs. 6 kgs.
I can see his fitter than when he was playing for Brive.
Merci, Philippe. Merci. Well, what I will say, Philippe, is you had a great win to our listeners over Clermont at home at the weekend. And the star man, I'm just going to say you're welcome because I bought him through at Wasps. Alex Azovsky, man of the match, kicked all the points, absolute hero. So how was the weekend? Good win for you boys. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a very important win for us because it's a tough season. We are quite struggling and Alex Azovsky was brilliant. He played fly half and, you know, he kicked 100%, a very important kick, one penalty from 52 meters. And it's tough for Alex, you know, with COVID, one new club, new culture. He can't go back to see his girlfriend in London or his family. So, you know, this period is not easy for the players, but very proud of him and very proud of the team of Montpellier. And we beat a great team of Clermont-Ferrand.
How is the lay of the land at Montpellier? I mean, I spent a season there. I've looked at the changes both before when Ollie Smith, I don't remember, the Leicester centre played there years ago, all the way up to kind of where Nathan Hines and Vern Cotter were there. And you know, I was there with Fabian. There seems to be a club with a rich history, but also with a lot of changes. What is it about Montpellier that there are so many changes with the club over the years?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, and you know Montpellier, it's a great town and a great city. But in top 14 is the youngest club, you know, because the history is just 30 years. And also we have a chairman, Moed Altrad, very successful with his business everywhere in the world. And of course, he's desperate to get success. But rugby, you need to be patient. I think you need to be consistent. You need to, and also now with a new structure with in French rugby, with a GIF, with the academy, you know, it's very, very important. If you want to be successful, to put a big structure, you know, a good academy, a good good organization in the club. And you know, when you have a tough years, the players stick together, they fight together, the spirit, it's amazing at the moment because it's not easy. But I think he will bring some brightness in Montpellier in the future.
Yeah, certainly. You mentioned structures there, and you also mentioned that I look fitter than ever before. do you need a nutritionalist? Do you need a fitness coach from England to come over?
I was thinking a kicker coach, but Alex Lozowski did 100%. Shame if not, I was ready to put you 104.
Philippe, how is the gym there? Because look, when I was there, remember Mamuka Gorgogzi, the famous Georgian back row, is they had one row machine in the gym. And because of the athlete that I was or I am, I'd be on there every day pulling ridiculous scores. And then what the fitness coach did, he'd have no word of a lie, I don't want to stereotype, he had a cigarette in his mouth and he'd just shout, go and stop. And because the session was so hard, he used to give it to the injured lads. And I remember Mamut Gorgogzi snapped his calf and he trained after about 3 days and they got him on the row machine. Because the row machine was so hard, I came in the next day, someone had cut the wire. So instead of recording the distances, what they did is just kept them on there for the same time that I was on there. So you couldn't even see how hard they were pulling. But anyway, my lungs were better for it by the end of it. That's all I know.
It's a big improvement because the fitness coach was smoking, was sacked last year.
Okay. He's gone.
But the gym is still the same.
Well, we'll definitely come down for a visit, I think, at some point. But
oh, please,
you will be the welcome. But you know, we have a big project because the stadium is huge, land all around with parking and everything, and it's a big project to do a big structure with hotel, restaurant. It's a big. We have a huge potential, and we're looking forward to make the next step.
One of the next steps might be about an Englishman as well, because we spoke to Zach Mercer last week, who's very excited about coming over next season. What a signing that is for Montpellier. I know perhaps it goes against the norm of him not being French and the way the GIF system's looked at the minute, but he's massively excited to come over and play for you guys next year. How excited are you as the boss to have him?
I am very excited because I signed him. You know, I know well the Premiership, and he's a fantastic player. Also, he can play 6, 7, 8. You know, he's playing more 8 at the moment, and he's very good footballer. He's very skillful, and he's the same in Montpellier. Our squad this year is quite old. Lot of back row like Picamol 35, Fulgence Pedrago 35, Girado 35, Hooker, Bismarck Duplessis 36, and rugby experience. You need experience, but you need also young player, fresh blood, and it's so much physical and quick now that we need a good balance in our squad. It's what I try to put together for next year, and I think Zach Mercer, he's a great signing for us for the future.
No, he absolutely is. You've got a player that I think is one of the most naturally gifted rugby players in the Premiership who's 23, 24 years old. So he's not coming over just for a paycheck. So I think that's brilliant. Philippe, we need to get on to the obvious, okay? I don't know whether you saw Rangers won the Scottish Prem at the weekend and the fans were out there in force. What's happening in France? Is there a similar thing? You know, Fabian's off kind of doing his own thing and what have you, the celebrations going on. Obviously, only joking, but what is the lay of the land with the French team scenario and I suppose the COVID protocols? They're very strict over here in the UK and Ireland in terms of their teams. Are they as strict in the French squad with all the protocols around the COVID stuff as they move now, hopefully, to play this weekend as well?
Waffles. All I'm going to say is waffles.
Waffles in Rome is all I'm saying.
I think it's difficult for me because in the French league, the protocol is very, very strict. If you have 3 guys positive in a time of 7 days, you need to stop everything. So you cancel the game. You must go back to training just with 5 players and 1 fitness coach. So in top 14, the the organization, it was very, very strict and very hard. In the French Federation, it looks quite different. It was a protocol with a government. And I think it was a French way, you know, to win in the row. We beat Italy in Italy. We beat Ireland in Ireland. And maybe one troisième mi-temps. And some things happened. But, you know, it was a lot of things going on in the newspaper. But it was, what's the name? The minister asked to do, I don't have the name in English, an enquête,
investigation, wasn't it?
One investigation, exactly.
I knew that word as well. I knew that.
And apparently, everything looks good at the moment. But, you know, for me, we had two players get the English COVID. It was Mohamed Awas, and he speak again for this week. And Arthur Vincent, our center. And our center is still not big because he still don't feel 100%. So I will say that for us, the health of our players is the biggest priority. And just I hope that we will see a great game of rugby on Saturday between England and France.
Yeah, we definitely want to see that. And from the investigation, Bernard Laporte said that France did nothing wrong. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take that as that's definitely the case. Deny, reaccuse. Let's talk about the game then, because obviously there's a couple of big names back in the squad. Untermak and Vakatawa in the back line especially. How do you see the game panning out, having France not played for a few weeks and England been pretty poor so far in the Six Nations?
After, you know, to play in Twickenham, it's all the time tough. After, it will be with the stadium empty. So I think the difference of the public, it's a huge part of rugby also in Twickenham. After, for me, the big question is to know all players like Antoine Dupont, Mohamed Awas. There were 11 players. He was a captain also, Olivon. Had the COVID, so they didn't play for nearly 3 weeks. They didn't train during 10 days because it was for 10 days they needed to be off, and after they had a checkup with the heart and everything. So it will be just to know the fitness level of this French team. But after, it's so much talents in our squad. They have the winning habit also. It's new for a French team for maybe 15 years. And the confidence is there. So against a team, like you say, in England, or the discipline is poor and they don't play very, very well. I think French have a good opportunity to win this game, you know.
Yeah, well, we saw in the Autumn Nations Cup, arguably French third team / second team played so well against England. I wanted to chat a bit about Sean Edwards, because on this side of the pond, all the talk is around the you know, how well France are doing with the players, the young players that they've brought in, but also the Sean Edwards effect. We were hearing a couple of different rumours. One, watching them, how well they're playing, but secondly, about how some of the players struggled with his way of coaching in terms of being quite strict. He's obviously done amazingly well with learning French. You're obviously smiling. Have you heard anything about how the culture shift for some of the players with someone like Sean Edwards has been for them?
No, I think, to be honest, he's doing a great job. After, he has this way, you know, all the coaching are different because coach, you need to coach with your personality. But you know, what Fabien Galthié bring top quality, because they have also William Servat for the line-out, for the scrum, it's a line-out coach also. It's a habit for the backs. And Sean Edwards, I think he's doing a great job. I find, you know, much the attitude in the contact area are much, much better. The guys are very aggressive on the tackle. Sometimes also they go and they attack the ball. And this is something that Sean Edwards, Sean bring when he was in England, but also when he was in Wales. And also, you know, this team is confident, is young, is talented, they communicate well. And to be honest, you can see that nearly 50 or 60% of the tries, they come back about turnover. So they are disciplined, they are good in defense, and after, they are so quick and so talented with the backs, and each time in one turnover than they had the opportunity to kill you. They did, you know, in Ireland 3 weeks ago, we didn't have too many balls, but they have the opportunity twice to come in the 22 and they score two try. And this is the quality of Ntamack, of Rakatawa, Gaël Ficou. We have so much talent in these French backs, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I bet Sean Edwards didn't go out for any waffles or go and watch his son play rugby and break the bubble. But we won't go there again. Tell us about the backs, obviously, from your perspective. That's where you made your name. You scored that wonderful try at Twickenham. You must have some amazing memories from back in the day. But for me, who's going to start at 10? For Jali Bear's gone exceptionally well. Ntamack's just come back into the squad and he was first choice. Will they throw Ntamack back in?
I think so, because Jalibert this week played fullback for Bordeaux. He didn't play fly half, he played fullback, but he was great and he kicked very well. But I think Fabien Galthié, he won't put one scrum half and fly half than play the more often possible before the World Cup in France. And also because Antoine Dupont and Romain Ntamack, they play together in Toulouse. I am sure that he will start to play with them. And also, Romain Ntamack played this week against Brive during 55 or 60 minutes. So I think he will probably start with Ntamack and put back Mathieu Jalibert the last 20 minutes. But for me, the big things for the French team is that Virimi Vakatawa is back, you know. He played this week with Racing against Toulon. He was brilliant. The first ball he touched, he scored a try. Every time he has the ball, something happen. So I think, you know, he will have a Ficou Vakatawa in the midfield. And this, it's if the French team have some ball, it will be very hard to defend against them.
Absolutely. Philippe, before you go, we were just talking about the Lions tour and where it's going to be, UK and Ireland. You know, hopefully it's going to go ahead with fans. We're not too sure. But I wanted to just touch on the World Cup in France. I don't know whether we'll speak to you in the next 2 years. We probably will. But how big it is going to be for the country of France to be hosting another World Cup. Obviously, the last one in 2007, I don't know if you remember, but I was there. But we beat Italy, which was the World Cup final for us. But as a country, obviously a rugby country, the French team are doing phenomenally well and they're clearly building up to be winning that World Cup, the first game against New Zealand. But from a country perspective, and I just want to build the excitement for the millions of fans that are listening who might not be able to go on a Lions tour and will be looking forward to World Cup, how big is it for France and how big is this tournament going to be in a couple of years?
I think huge. Do you know why? Because first, all the stadium are peak and all the game will be in some fantastic stadium. Also, everybody are fed up to stay at home and to watch a game of rugby, not in the stadium, but in front of your computer or on your TV. And to be honest, I have so many friends also are not very interested in rugby. Send me SMS and email and say, could you get some ticket for the World Cup? I think it will be huge. And also, is the first time for a long time, and it's a big up for the French teams, and I think we can compete, and we will be in the top three or top four favorite of this competition. So you know, just we need to find a way to kill this COVID and to have some beer and to have the atmosphere of rugby. But I think the World Cup in France will be huge, because you know our country. I think it will be sunny, the beer will be fresh, and the atmosphere will be amazing. All the stadium will be completely full, and I can't wait. You know, I'm looking forward to be in this World Cup and to watch some good game.
Amen to that, Monfer.
Can you get us 6 tickets for the opening game, New Zealand against France?
No problem, my friend. You pay the beer.
No problem.
It will be maybe more expensive and yeah, I find the ticket.
I just want to ask you one last thing about Montpellier. Frank Azema is leaving Clermont at the end of the season. Nothing's been announced yet, but there's big rumours he is heading down to your neck of the woods. Hell of a coach, hell of a history behind helping Clermont become the powerhouse that they are. Are there any rumours that you can confirm? Is he going to be wearing a Montpellier tracksuit next year?
There are some rumours because I was very honest with my chairman. I came to be director of rugby and for the development of the academy and for all the development of the stadium and all around, like I explained to you. I am back in shorts, but I will stop in end of in June, you know, because I did my time. I think it's a job for young people. But and Franck Azéma, he has a great profile. Why? Because he had success with Clermont-Ferrand. He had a lot of experience, but people maybe don't know he had played 2 years for Montpellier, you know. He had played for this club, Center, and he's from this area because he's from Perpignan. So I will say it's a lot of sync match with the club. After, at the moment, he's still in contract with Clermont-Ferrand. So it's rumor, and he will be what the name, probably one of the top of the list of our chairman. But at the moment, I think he's still in Clermont-Ferrand. Also, he said that after 11 seasons in Clermont-Ferrand, he will stop in June with Clermont-Ferrand.
That's a yes, then. Love it. I love it.
Oui.
Last thing, then. Who's going to win at the weekend? England or France?
France by 2.
You're crazy,
oh,
man.
Oh, straight away.
You're a crazy man. But I think it's going to be more.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Best of luck with Montpellier, and hopefully we see some more of that French flair this weekend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Philippe. Top man.
Bonne chance, Montfer. What a legend.
Absolute legend, that bloke. Yeah, we always joke around and say, oh, top bloke. He's a legend, isn't he? He's hilarious. Wow. He's done everything in the game. He won the Premiership over here. Loves the banter. Yeah, what a bloke. Love having him on.
Yeah, I smile every time he's on. Genuinely, I smile every time he's on. I think I might have called him Amen, my sister, but I couldn't think of my brother. What sister? I've said mon frère. What's mon sister? Mon brother.
Mon frère is my brother.
Oh, is it?
Ma soeur is my masseuse. Sister.
Well, oh, is it? Sorry. It's weird because with him at the helm in Montpellier and knowing about my experience with Fabian the Absolute Cowboy is... It makes me desperate to go back there. I don't know in what capacity, but it makes me want to go back there. And the reason I brought up the World Cup was because we will be back there in some capacity. And I think as the excitement builds, you know, we've taken a year off our life. I mean, I look like I've put on 5 years myself, so I'm about 32 now. But how good having the World Cup in France? And if they carry on doing what they're doing in terms of the national team, but you've got people like Philippe as well in charge of some of the clubs... Ah, oh, it's going to be wicked.
Yeah, I just hope they don't perform this weekend because England, we're in the doldrums at the minute. But yeah, I mean, what a place. France, as much as we give them banter, it's a lovely place to go. I'd love to have played for Montpellier. It was my favourite away trip. We used to go to Obar, the nightclub there, mate, after beating Montpellier easy for brief. Hell of a night.
Yeah, never heard of Obar. How good? How good is it?
Mate, it's amazing there, isn't it?
How good is Obar? Yeah, it's class.
Scotland, Ireland, Jim, it's been a... while since your lads played, any chance that they'll be undercooked or maybe even lost a bit of momentum?
Oh, feels like weeks ago. Well, it was weeks ago since we beat England.
Are you still harping on about beating England, mate?
I have to, mate. That's literally made my year.
You lost to Wales a week later.
Yeah, but we had a red card, didn't we? So the wind's been taken out of our sails for Scotland. But the game's on Sunday. We're against the Irish. It's a hard one to call again. It is. Like, the Exeter lads played, so Hoggy, and who I thought played really well for Exeter at the weekend. Johnny Gray scored a try. He looked like he was going slow-mo over the try line. so they've got a bit of game time. But yeah, it's a home game we must win if we're going to do anything more in this tournament. The rescheduled game against France hasn't been confirmed yet. So it is what it is. It's this game against Ireland and then the game against Italy. And we'll see. But I don't know. It's a hard one, isn't it? Because I always say, yeah, I reckon we'll beat Ireland, and we hardly ever do. I think we should be winning because Ireland aren't as good as they once were. They're under a bit of pressure. They had a good win against Italy over in Rome. The two games that Ireland have played where they've been big tests for them was the game against Wales where Omani got sent off and the game against France where they got well beaten. So this is a must-win game for Ireland. It's a must-win game for Scotland. Hey, what an interesting week. This is probably the weekend of the tournament, this.
Yeah. You know, Ireland actually came in some real good form. I know it was only against Italy, but it was the performance and the manner of the performance. Their attacking structures look good again. They look well organised. Sexton's going to have another rest week last week, so he's going to be fresh again, no knocks.
Conor Murray and the stock horse are back.
Conor Murray's back. I don't think Stockdale will play. He's not played that well. So on, if you're picking on form, I don't reckon you're picking the stock horse, but maybe put him on the bench. Depends on the makeup of your bench. But it's a really intriguing game because Scotland, I feel desperately for them in a way because they had so much momentum. You know, the highest of highs beating England at Twickenham, then the red card against Wales and the close loss towards the end. And then you're thinking, well, they can get back on the horse, go to France and do a, you know, a job over there. Finn Russell in the city lives in, and the French go and break the bubble and the game gets postponed. So the wind has clearly been taken out of their sails. But what an intriguing game.
Where do you think the key areas are? Where will it be won and lost?
I can't wait to watch Sexton v Finn Russell. And that's the fly half thinking and seeing it. Two completely different players, but you know the influence they have over each team, very different, but so influential. I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it?
I could see Scotland winning. I really could. But Ireland's a team that we've struggled against. So in terms of the physicality, the power play, you know, CJ Stander, the way that he carries the ball, you know, the whole tight five of Ireland, you know, whoever they pick, you know, Kean Healy, Ty Furlong, Porter at tight head, you know, James Ryan carrying the ball, Tyke Byrne, who we could have talked up a couple of weeks ago and we didn't. He got, like, he's a wicked player, whether or not he plays six. And I think that he's now the sixth for Ireland going forward over Omani. So Scotland struggled in the past against physicality. We've kind of got past that now. We saw that against England. But for me, I've seen enough against England and against Wales, even with 14 men, that we can beat Ireland at home and actually win quite comfortably.
I think you're deluded. Winning quite comfortably is quite deluded, I think, Jim.
Well, to define comfortably, by 3 or 4?
Okay, well, let's get your predictions for the Guinness Pint Predictor on Match Pint to wrap up the Six Nations chat. If you want to get involved, it's the same format as usual. Just download the Match Pint app from all good app stores. Predict the scores, beat your mates, and win great rugby prizes. And make sure you join the UK's biggest private league with the league code RugbyPod as well. All right, Italy, Wales, what's happening?
Well, I remember I called this as the wooden spoon decider. Can you actually believe?
I can, mate. I can believe some of the gibberish that comes out your mouth.
I cannot believe I actually said that. Wales, comfortably now. We're on a wave. We're on a wave. Alan Wynne-Jones to carve up, man of the match. I'm going to say Wales by 20.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's an interesting one because you look at the selections. Is he going to give Sheedy a go at 10? I think he will. I'm going to go Wales by 30. And also Alan Wynne-Jones, man the match and 4 tries.
England, France.
I can't do it. I can't say France to beat England at Twickenham. I just can't. I can't bring myself to say it. I believe in Eddie Jones. I believe in everything that he's done. I believe in his selection policy.
Liar.
I believe in him not picking the form players in the Premiership. I believe in all this, Eddie. So I'm going to believe that England are going to win this by 7.
You haven't got a clue, mate. You haven't got a clue.
May well. That may well be the case, James.
I'm going England by 8.
Scotland, Ireland, what's happening?
I just said it earlier. I think Ireland are going to win. Did I say Scotland comfortably earlier?
I think you said Scotland comfortably earlier, Jim, yeah.
Scotland by 4 then, comfortably.
You could technically have a comfortable 4-point victory, Jim. Because you could
That's what I said. That's what I mean.
I mean, you could be like 2 scores up and they score in the last minute to make it look a lot closer than it potentially was. So maybe you do speak sense, Jim. So I'm going to go Ireland by 6.
Well, speaking of big games, a friend of the show, Freddie Burns, had a big game at the weekend, lining up in Japan for his team, the Shockey Shuttles, against another team called Coca-Cola.
Is it Coca-Cola Cherry?
You can add Cherry on. So I spoke to Freddie, called Freddie San, on YouTube for the Rugby Pod, and they've got some great names out there. Coca-Cola, they've got Toyota, they've got the Kobe Steelers, and then I think Freddie's
Panasonic
team's called
Wild Knights.
Yeah, well, there you go, Wild Knights as well. And Freddie's team's called the Shuttles.
Yeah, just do some Shuttles, boys.
Imagine being called the Shuttles.
Konnichiwa. Freddie San, Burnsy's in Japan. Time for me to go and see what life's like in Japan. Freddie San, Burnsy's in Japan. So come on, let's go see what Burnsy's up to in Japan.
Jim, you are right. So here's our props names, right? We've got Goon. We've got Mizuno. We've got Gucci. We've got Hero. We've got Zawa. And then we've got Bob.
Is Bob Japanese or not? Is Bob working as the cleaner?
He's Stonewall Japanese, mate. Honestly.
No, he's not. You haven't got a Japanese bloke. You've got one called Mizuno and one called Bob. No chance.
Mate, I'm going to get you the squad pictures of the boys, and I'm going to show you Bob.
Let's put the picture of Bob up.
Mate, honestly, I was like that. They have all these odd names. The one name I could get is Bob.
If you want to watch the full episode of that, just head over to YouTube and search for the Rugby Pod for the full Freddie Sun experience. All right, let's look at the Premiership. Goody.
Wasps.
I know. And I've only got one place and one person to blame, really.
What, the ref? Who?
No, Eddie Jones.
Fair enough.
Yeah, just blame Eddie Jones, because if you play like Sam Simmons, you're basically playing away from what England are doing. So you're doing shit that none of the England boys are doing at the minute. So you're playing exceptionally well. Everyone says he should be playing for England, but yet he's not getting picked. So the Wasp boys have taken a leaf out of Eddie's book, and our discipline is absolutely horrific. I think we're the most penalised team in the Premiership. Our discipline's been so bad that I think Eddie Jones must have been to training at Wasp and said, guys, fellas, this is what you do, mate. You want to get in my team? Just give a load of penalties away, mate. And you'll be picked, mate. So, yeah, discipline's poor. Confidence is low. Missing a few boys, very important boys to the team. But, yeah, just not good enough at the minute, I'm afraid.
What'd you make of Ollie Thorley's red card?
Ridiculous.
Do you reckon?
Mate, come on.
But this
he
is the thing.
Pushed. He got pushed. No,
he didn't. No, he didn't. He accelerated into it. For me, I'm not saying, and this is the big debating point, where the line is and what World Rugby are trying to do, and we've said it for ages, they're trying to stop these upright tackles. Look at the way Ollie Thorley goes into the tackle. And
yeah, but he's running through bodies. One of the best tacklers, Goody, off them kicks is a Gloucester teammate of his, Lewis Ludlow.
Yeah.
Right? So he's one of the best tacklers off the kick. But when he gets a direct shot, I don't know how Ollie Thorley can go down in the aeroplane thing that Rob Baxter's mentioned about with the arms out and make a dominant click. Like, you're running like through bodies.
But this is the thing. As a defender, you've got a massive responsibility now. Like, you're talking then about how you make a tackle. You have to steady your feet. And what he does is he accelerates into it, chest up, head up, and there's a head collision. Now, the letter of the law, it's a red card. So the TMO is trying to talk the referee, Matt Carley, it's just said, oh, it's a rugby incident. But actually, Matt Carley, the way he dissects it with his open cloth, we from the outside can look at it and go, ridiculous. But we're not on that inner sanctum, that inner circle of what the directives are from World Rugby that have been guided by the players. We had Wayne Barnes on here last week. He's saying they've got no choice. And we saw Hepatima's one. Look at Hepatima's tackle technique compared to Ollie Thorley's. Very similar in terms of the body shape that they hit the contact with. Hepatima's, he's thrown the shoulder a bit, but if you look, they're trying to stop this upright chest out tackle technique where you're going to see head collisions a lot of the time, and that's what they're trying to defuse. So there is going to be a bit of pain along the way around it. And, you know, Ollie Thorley, is he a nasty player? No, he's test match. What do they call him? 110% or something? Whatever his nickname is. He's
been carded.
Yeah, he's full speed all the time, but unfortunately for rugby players, you can't do that anymore. You know, with the power they've got, that's what they're trying to depower the collision base around, trying to fly into contact as much as you can.
And that comes on to my point that I was going to make around, I don't know if you saw Aaron Morris's on Rory Hutchinson, where he's flown out the line to make a dominant collision on Hutchinson, yeah. Got his head the wrong way, and nasty, nasty concussion. So arguably, Andrew, you're right. I'm not saying that I can't believe they've given Ollie Thorley a red card, because we spoke about it last week. Head on head, shoulder on head is a red card now. But for me, I thought there was enough in there. But maybe not. Maybe I need to even shift my mindset a dial or two even further round. But anyway, how about the Wasps?
Yeah, but mate, discipline shocking. But Saracens got humped by Cornish Pirates, so.
Didn't see it.
It was quite a game at Welford Road on Friday night, wasn't it?
Go back to Jim's tweet. Irish are proper. You know, we said it last week and the week before, didn't we? They're a decent outfit. And going back to Jim's tweet, the timing of it, they went from...
Oh, gosh.
What did they go from? 13-0 up to about 32-13 down after your tweet, Jim, or something, was it?
But they came back, though.
Yeah, they did.
Only a proper team could do that. Yeah. So I'm well impressed with Irish. genuinely. And I think when we spoke at the beginning of the season about what teams we thought might be relegated or be the bottom of the league, I think neither of us said London Irish. You look at the profile of the squad that they've got, in terms of they've not just signed players, Andrew, coming towards the end of their career, mate, they're just looking for a paycheck.
Jim Hamilton.
Exactly, but I never signed. Probably the best thing that ever happened to them.
Did you not sign it?
Oh, I did sign it, yeah.
Oh, but you just said you didn't sign.
Oh, yeah, but sorry, I signed, but I signed with a pencil, not a pen. So it's probably best that I didn't play. But I think I genuinely think they look proper. The style of play that they play, the two-sided attack, the physicality in which they carry the ball, the profile of players. You know, Paddy Jackson is a top-class 10. You know, you put Declan Kidney Bean, I think it was him, he had his mask on properly. It was almost over his eyes when I saw him on the TV. But you know what? I think Leicester are good now as well. I
Tip
can see a real
slipper.
Yeah, real identity in what they're doing, in terms of the style of play. Wigglesworth's massive for them, isn't he?
South African identity.
Told you, they've just signed another Saffa today as well.
They've signed about 20 of them now, haven't they? And if Freddie San goes to Leicester next year, which is the rumour, James, I think that would be great for him as well. Leicester, you know, they're looking a lot better than they've been for the last few years.
Well, Exeter's looking a lot better than it has been over the last few weeks. Back to the best with their win at Bath, do you reckon?
I mean, Sam Simmons and Sam Skinner. All the S's, basically, isn't it, Jim?
And the H of the Hog, who is an S as well, because it's Stuart. I see what you've done then. The slippery S's. Extra quality team, that's it. They might have a lull, they might have a dip, but the cream always rises to the top, a famous man once said. Yeah, extra good team. I'm going to put their performance down to Rob Baxter chopping his lid off, because I think his pre-match speeches, no one could take him seriously. They're thinking, if that ain't itchy, Rob, then I don't know what is, mate. So I reckon Hoggy's had a word with him. He's got his lid cut. But
can you imagine Rob Baxter's bush as well?
I mean, it's Devon. I don't think they're all like Henry Slade and Jack Noel, I tell you now.
Yeah, true. But yeah, Bath, they went 13-0 up, played some good stuff. But Exeter are the best team in the league when they're on point. And yeah, that was them back at their best, wasn't it? Dominant forward carries. Imagine you in that team, Jim.
That pick and go that they do, you know, where they latch onto each other.
That's you.
No, it's not me. No, it's not me. Towel the back there. I'd be like a question mark, like a king prawn going into contact. The pain. But they've changed the game. Exeter changed the game, haven't they? In terms of that part of the play, the physicality around that, the physicality around the driving maul. I don't remember. I'm trying to think of another team in world rugby that have been as dominant in that area of the game, and they've changed the game. The issue that you've got now is everyone is obviously picking up on that and doing it, and like a Bristol, for example, adding different layers to the game and some superstar quality. But X will be there or thereabouts, and we spoke about Cornish Pirates, didn't see the game against Saracens. But
did you not?
That, they didn't see it, no. But that neck of the woods, like the Cornwall and Devon, you talk about hard and you talk about rugby and you talk about built to play. That's where they're from, mate. They're from Devon. They're on the cider or the rattlesnake. There might be a cider, but anyway, don't drink that.
Well, where are the Quins boys getting their players from? They've won 6 from 7 in 2021 so far. Jim, do you owe them an apology?
Why do I need to apologise for them? They're doing their thing. You know, Danny Kerr's finally rocked up. Joe Marler's playing week in, week out for them.
Marcus Smith, ridiculous.
Well, Marcus Smith's class. You know, Danny Kerr's playing well, to be fair to him. They've got a lad called Tyrone Green, who don't look like a Tyrone, but he's playing like a Tyrone, that's for sure. And they've got a good squad of players. We've always said that. And now Nick Evans, I think it was him, he had his mask over his eyes, not like Fabian. And they've got Jerry Flannery, who was obviously at Munster, had a break from rugby for a year, coaching the forwards as well. And you think about the DNA of that team with guys like Nick Evans, who was obviously at the club, Adam Jones, who's been there for a while now, Jerry Flannery, the rugby pedigree and the IQ they've got now. And for whatever reason, we know that Paul Gustard didn't work. Okay, clearly there was an issue with Guzzi and the squad of players, because you look at their performances now. You marry that up with, like Goody said, I mean, who wanted Marcus Smith to go to Sale? I don't know. But Marcus Smith, I was a little bit unsure. He almost looked a bit like Cipriani. That's what I felt before when I used to watch him play. For me, he's one of the most complete tens in the world. Was it you who said he was as good as Dan Carter? I heard someone say he was as good as Dan Carter.
I didn't say he was as good as. I said he's got the traits of Dan Carter. And everything that he does is, you know, the only thing potentially you could look at, does he his duck looks. At? Yeah, his hair's too high on the top of his head. He needs to get that trimmed down a bit. But defensively, does he? I think he does make tackles. Yeah, he does.
Well, the best tackling fly halves in world rugby is Finn Russell. Not just talk about Scotland now.
Mate, there you go. There you go. But let's talk about Saints. Let's talk about Saints because they absolutely butchered the game. It was a wonderful game of rugby in the first half. Saints, they have Quinns down to 13 men. They are, what were they? Say they were 11 points down or something. Quinns have got two in the bin. They've got a scrum.
They can go.
Mate, they've got a scrum 5 metres out from the try line. And Harlequins have got seven in the scrum. One of those sevens are back as well. So six forwards in the scrum. And they try and do a three-pass play out the back. What are you doing? And then all they do is just chucking it around for fun, trying to find a hole. Clueless. And I tweeted it, and I felt a bit harsh saying clueless, but they were. You'd expect a team, and I think Chris Boyd said it, and I love Chris Boyd, coached me at the Sharks back in the day. He'd have been tearing his hair out because it's all very well doing the fancy stuff and chucking it around. You know, like you play touch when you first go out to at training. And everyone's just throwing it around everywhere. That's how they looked on the field when they were playing against 13 men. Like it was fitness games at the weekend. You're just trying to stretch a team when that wasn't how to win that game. They could have won that game, Northampton, with 15 minutes to go. Quinns had two in the bin. They had all the pressure, all the momentum. And for the life of me, their decision-making was abysmal. Fucking push them over. Or try and eke out a penalty quickly that way. Use the power. And don't try and three-pass play out the back with someone. When they've got a massive overlap, stand someone on the touchline, open up the space in between defenders and play through them. It's not hard.
There you go. Andrew, I'll play for you, mate. If you Thanks. Give me that, if you make it sound that easy, mate, give the ball to Naivoro.
5 metres out, it. Mate. 5 metres out. What are you doing?
Mate, you're talking to one of the greatest who have ever done it 5 metres out. So you don't need to convince me.
Okay, well, let's finish things off with the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is brought to you by the geniuses at Suns. We're doing great work with all the men out there with one of the key issues that they don't often talk about, how to keep your hair. They're a men's health brand that offers a range of licensed and medically proven products for preventing and treating hair loss, and they deliver via a monthly or three-monthly subscription direct to your door. It's reasonably priced, and they get results in 9 out of 10 men. So just visit suns.co.uk and use the code RugbyPod20 to get 20 quid off your first order. That's sons.co.uk, and the code is RugbyPod20.
Yeah, let's start in the Guinness Pro 14 and Munster. A hell of a victory for them. Big derby game against Connacht. They won that 20 points to 17 to book their place in the final. And sticking in the Guinness Pro 14, Leinster are going to be the other finalists. They also get a tip of the slipper for beating Ulster comfortably at the Kingspan Stadium, 38-19. Hell of a performance by them. I just look at Reece Ruddock. He looks hard as fuck, Jim.
Ridiculous, mate.
So the final of the Guinness Pro 14 with two rounds to go, we already know, is Munster against Leinster. How's that sit with you, Jim? Where's the playoffs gone?
Don't blame me. Just blame, I don't know, I don't want to say the name, but just blame. Well, blame someone or some China. Place. China.
What else was good? Montpellier. We chatted to the big boss man, Philippe Saint-André, earlier. They get a tip of the slipper this week. They beat Clermont in the top 14. Alex Lazowski starred for them as well at fly half. You're welcome. Taught him everything not to do as a 10, basically eating and not training. So well done to Loz and the Montpellier boys. We've given them a bit of stick on here in the bad plenty of times, but they're coming good now. What else is good? Let's go to the Premiership. I was going to say, AJ McGinty, how good? We've talked him up on air a fair bit recently, Jim. He's tearing it up on a regular basis for Sale. This week's offering was his round-the-back flick pass, ludicrous offload to create a try for Luke Diaga. See his sidestep as well. You got that in the locker, Jim?
It did and have a very different. I probably did at some point, yeah. Against I don't know if you saw the game against India. Yeah, you saw it. Yeah, you saw it.
mate, if that was Bowden Barrett or Danny Cipriani, the world would have gone mad for that offload by AJ McGinty. So well done to him.
I tweeted it. You not see it? Sick. That's what the cool kids do. I was going to do a flame, which means lit, but I just did wrote sick instead.
Nice. What else was good? Staying in the Premiership, Siva Nalango. He was phenomenal. 9 carries, 120 metres made, 4 clean breaks and a hat trick for the Bristol Barebacks in their victory over Worcester. Wasn't a great game, but he was unbelievable. What a sign he is. Apparently, he may qualify for England.
No doubt.
Residency and all that malarkey.
All right.
Just get him in, Eddie. Well, you pick him as well, Eddie, man. Come on. What else was good? Exeter, back to their best. They came back from 13-0 down to get their biggest ever win at the Rec. Sam Simmons was phenomenal again. Outplayed Toby Faletau, international number 8. Sam Skinner was very good. And another Scotsman, Jim. Big Bad Johnny. Johnny Gray and Hoggy, actually. I'll throw him in there. So they played particularly well for Exeter. Back on the horse and back winning again. But the good this week, I mean, I say this with a smile on my face. I always try and shoehorn one of my old teams into the good, but I couldn't manage it this week. I could have mentioned Leicester, you know, that was a good performance. But
you've gone with Gloucester, haven't you?
Very similar to Jim Hamilton. Jim Hamilton played for Scotland because he had a Scotty dog when he was younger and his nan had tartan curtains. I have eaten a lot of Cornish pasties in my time, so I'm going to claim to be from Cornwall. I'm going to claim to be Cornish. And the good, I play for the Cornish Pirates. I must have done at some point. I'm Cornish. The Cornish Pirates absolutely hosed Saracens 50 points to 17 at the weekend. At the men, I think it wasn't 50-17, Jim. It was 25-17. No bonus point for Saracens. What a victory. Cornish Pirates, they've shown it's going to be no easy ride for the Saracens boys in the Championship. They want the new stadium. The planning, hopefully, has gone through, is going through. They're going to build it. You bring Saracens to Cornwall, international players or not international players, 7 internationals they had. Some quality players have been down there and are unbeaten down at the Menai Field, not the Saracens boys. So tip the slipper this week to the Cornish Pirates. They get the good this week.
I didn't see it, and I don't know whether you can say Pirates anymore, but congratulations to the Cornish Pirates.
a few bad things. We're going to start off with France rugby, just as a whole, really. They did their investigation, and surprise, surprise, they did nothing wrong. Deny, deny, reaccuse. They used the Jim Hamilton line of life. Deny, deny, reaccuse. They did their investigation. Wasn't their fault.
And did it get them out of it? Did it get them out of it?
Yeah, it did. It works. There you go. It works.
There you go.
So that was pretty bad for me. We're going to stay in France. And Jim, we're going to go to your Twitter timeline for this. But Thibaut Flamont, who used to play at Wasp last year, he did a Johnny May and jumped over the Brive defensive line. But the bigger mention is the worst bit of refereeing I've seen in a long time. The worst thing was the ref said play on. No, jouer. He's literally
one chance.
He's jumped over 2 tacklers, landed on his head, knocked the ball on, and the ref just said play on. That's fine. What are you on about, French ref? His name, the French ref, was Luc Ramos. Absolute cowboy. Yeehaw! What else was bad? Randox. You heard about this one, Jim?
Tell me, they might have done.
Well, the COVID testing company that were responsible for the shambles with Bath when they listed all the false positives and all the guys had to go into self-isolation and cause a bit of drama around the Premiership, they got the boot. So the bad news for them is they've gone. They've gone because Jim Hamilton called them out.
Tell them money that. Tell the money they've lost that.
Well, you called them out on here, Jim. So they've got the boot for Premiership Rugby and a new company has taken over the testing program. So bad news. Loving life.
I bet they are loving life, aren't they?
Yeah. Bad news for Randox. What else was bad? I'm going to say it, Jim.
What?
Wasps. I'm putting them in the bad.
Hang on.
I'm putting Wasps in the bad.
There's something more to it.
There is. Basically, Eddie Jones. Wasps and Eddie Jones go in the same sentence. Most ill-disciplined team in the Premiership. Lost again at home. Not good.
You can't blame Eddie Jones for this. Just go straight and just say Wasps. You're playing crap at the minute.
Yeah, Wasps and Eddie Jones. Wasps. We'll just say Wasps. But James.
Andrew.
Only one place the bad can go this week. And you know exactly where it's going, my friend. I put Wasps in, but Wasps don't win it. The team that wins the bad this week is...
Don't say Saracens again. What have they got to do with anything?
Saracens, mate. Saracens. You can't go down to the Menai Field with 165 caps and 7 internationals and just rock up like you're going to win on your private jet. No, lads.
You've given good to the Cornish. Can you say it, Pirates? Like, you can't piggyback and go bad.
I can, mate.
Off the back of what France have done, you cannot give Saracens a bad.
Well, unfortunately, Jim, as this is my segment, I am giving them the bad. They've gone down to the Menai Field. They expected to win with whatever team. And it was a strong team as well. You look at some of the Premiership selections that they had last year. So the bad this week goes to Saracens. They had their tail between their legs, back on the private jet, back to all their houses in London.
They were comfortable when they got home.
Yeah, not so much, lads. The Championship is a tough competition. And you've not started on the best footing. But the bad this week goes to Saracens. The ugly, plenty of ugly. 5 yellow cards and a red handed out by Frank Murphy.
Oh, yes.
I'm also going to mention another notable issue here with Frank Murphy. Good-looking lad. loves the hair dye. I've got to call out all the hair dye production companies in Ireland.
Mm.
Because there's a mass shortage there, because Frank's just showing so much grey up the sides at the minute.
Yeah, he's gone for the zebra, isn't he?
He has gone for the zebra. But yeah, he dished out 5 yellows and a red, which was pretty ugly. Not him, just some of the scenes in that game between Leinster and Ulster. But the ugly this week has to go to Terence Hepatema's red card. Just a crazy challenge. He said sorry on social media, which I get. But throwing your shoulder into the face of Van Vaik there, really not a good look at all. Players have got to learn quickly. We keep saying it week on week, but players ain't learning, are they, Jim?
He's got a tattoo on his neck, mate. I ain't saying anything. anything bad about that man. Guy's a legend. And I'm sure he's very remorseful and he's going to be the best player in the Prem. Hard as nails.
Thanks, Goody. Thanks, Jim. Thanks, producer Tim. And thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to hit subscribe on whatever platform you get your podcasts on. Leave us a review and check us out on YouTube as well.
Come on, France. Scotland. Rugby pod.
Pod, pod, pod.